one of the rules was they had to collect their cell phones. So they had, they collected the cell phones, and then in another bag, unbeknownst to the people who were there, they had old cell phones, and what they did was they put it all in a grinder. This is true. And one of the young people there started having heart palpitations. What am I going to do without my cell phone? Well, unless you are an emergency worker, you know, which I understand, or if you're following along on the notes, then by all means use them. If you're not, please put them away for a half hour. Can we do that? Okay. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
This is the second in a series that I'm doing on the spiritual gifts. And forgive me for all my years in church, okay? Some of you have more than me, but I've had now over 30 years in church. And any time in the past when I used to bring up the topic of spiritual gifts, it was, okay, what can we argue about? And once we take that type of posture, we lose the complete emphasis of what spiritual gifts are all about. Let me just suggest to you, in the body of Christ, and we're going to talk about that in a second, in the body of Christ, there's much too much arguing and not enough focusing on what we're supposed to do. That's generally speaking, okay? So as we go into the second series, we're going to be in Romans about the spiritual gifts. I just want to say, come into this, please, with an open mind. And if you have any questions, we can talk later. But since I do have a birthday on Tuesday, and I'm 67 years old, you know what I've come to a big realization? I don't like to argue anymore. There's too much to focus on. There really is too much to focus on. In Texas, there's a city called Corpus Christi. You know what that means? Come on, wake up. Body of Christ. Corpus Christi means the body of Christ. Can you imagine living in a city that's named the body of Christ? I'm almost amazed nobody has petitioned to change it yet, because it's too offensive, right? Boy, God forgive us, right? It's literally translated the body of Christ. God ordained and empowered the local body, us and other churches like us, to be the body of Christ. And it's not just words. It is not just words. What it means is that every local church represents the body of Christ as he walked this earth until he returns again. That is, you and I need to do the work of Christ that Christ did when he was here. Boy, you say, oh, that's a big task. Yeah, sure it is. But God doesn't leave us alone in that. He gives us his spirit so that he can both empower us, give us the desire, and the gifts that we need to do exactly that. Are you with me? Okay? Sometimes, again, generally speaking, local churches, sometimes we get together and think we're just here to meet and that's it. Then we go home. I want to suggest to you that's an unfortunate product of our day, because a lot of times we like to come to be entertained and go home, all right? You know what a benediction is? What's a benediction? Come on. No, it's more than praise. It's more than a time of prayer. Benediction is the sending out of people from the place of worship to be Christ to others. That's what a benediction is. Go with the blessing of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit into the world and be witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's what a benediction is. It's funny how we use words when we lose meaning of what the words mean. We are to do the work of Christ as he did when he walked this earth. Jesus himself said to the apostles before he was crucified that he wouldn't leave them alone, that after he was gone, he was going to send them a helper. A paraclete is the translation. To do what? Indwell them, empower them. And he says these words, to do even more than he did. I take those things seriously. I take those things seriously. I hope you do too. For me, this concept is so incredible. When Jesus ascended into heaven, the church will be able to do more, more than he did when he walked this earth. You know why? Because when he walked this earth and he took on flesh, he could only be in one place at one time. There are a lot of churches meeting today. There are a lot of churches who will say a benediction today and send you out into the world to be Christ to others. We can be in a lot more places than Jesus physically could when he was here. And so, he doesn't send us ill-equipped. He sends us, hopefully, with the desire of the Spirit of God, with the equipping of the Spirit of God, and this is where the spiritual gifts come in. So look with me at Romans 12, real quick. I'm going to bring you through this, and we're going to go back to this later. Bring me to Romans 12, I did put it in there, didn't I? I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 12. My error. There we go. I knew it was in there. I want you to look at the first three verses. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Too many times we are very uninformed about the giftingness of the Holy Spirit and what he intends us to do with them. He goes on to say, you know that when you were pagans, that is before you came to Christ, somehow you or others were influenced and led astray by mute idols. And he goes on to make this statement. This statement has always, I don't want to say baffled me, but I always took this statement very, very to heart. Therefore, I want to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is what? Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. What this is saying is that Christ followers who have come by repentance and faith and put their trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Oh. You know what happens the moment you believed? You are under new ownership. You're under new ownership. You can go up and down Route 9 and you'll see some stores that says under new management. Before we came to Christ, without you knowing it, we were under the management of Satan and the world system. I hope you don't get insulted by that, but theologically that's true. Doesn't mean you were possessed. Just means that the world system is kind of anti-God. But the moment we believed and the Holy Spirit took up residence in our hearts, we're in the new management now. Boy, you know something? When you see a business that says under new management, what do you look for? You look for improvements. You look to see what they're going to do. People ought to sense, by virtue of the Spirit living in us, we're under new management. And he's doing some improvements in our lives. And we're going to talk about some of those improvements. But I think we forget that Christ followers are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are all indwelt by the same Holy Spirit. None of you have more or less. You got that? None of you have more or less. We all have the Holy Spirit. He comes completely. Now, how we submit to him and yield ourselves to him, that's a matter of individual choice. But you have the same spirit I do. But look what happens now. Let's go to verses 4-6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same spirit distributes them. There's a list in Romans of the spiritual gifts. It's not exhaustive. There's a list here of the spiritual gifts. It's not exhaustive. There's a list in Ephesians of spiritual gifts. It's not exhaustive. So Paul talks about some of the spiritual gifts, not all of them. There are different kinds of gifts. How boring would it be if every one of you here was like me? Thank God you're not. Thank you. What unites us is the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit gives you different gifts than he's given me, right? There are different kinds of service, but what? The same Lord, right? There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, the same God is at work. You need to understand that the context of Corinthians was Paul was writing to a divided church. He was writing to a church that was fairly new, a church that he had helped plant, by the way. And you got into these senseless arguments. I'll give you some of the arguments. I like this leader better than I like that leader. And the way it came out with the church was, I follow this guy and you follow this guy. I'm following the better guy. I like this teacher. I don't like this teacher. And here's where it gets dicey. I have better gifts than you do. My gifts make me more spiritual than you. And they were arguing about these things. And Paul's saying, look, the Spirit of God unites us, and he wants us to be united in purpose. And not only that, no one's gift is more important than the other, even though they may be different gifts. They're all important. Different gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of workings. I want to go to verse 12. Can you bring me to verse 12? I'm going to skim over this, okay? So you can read it deeper later. Again, there we go. Follow this along. We used this analogy last time. Just as a body, though one has what? Many parts, but in all its many parts form what? One body. So it is with Christ. Thank God. How many of you left your hand home today? Right? I mean, we need each other, correct? For we were all baptized by what? One Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so as to form what? One body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, there's no division when it comes to salvation, okay? We are all given to one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of but one part, but of many, all right? Follow this. Paul gets a little corny here. Okay? But now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. All right? And he goes on to say, and if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. Paul is saying, I don't care what body part you look at, it's all necessary. They're all different. They have different functions, but they're all necessary. Here we go. If the whole body were an eye, get this. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You know, I had to laugh because when I was preparing this, I'm saying, well, if the whole body was an ear, those of us who have a music background, sometimes we play by ear, you know? And I saw a spoof on this one time, and I think it was, might have been the character that plays Mr. Bean. I don't remember. For those of you who might remember Mr. Bean, he sat down at the piano and he starts playing the piano with his ear, saying he's playing by ear. Well, that's, yeah. But you get the imagery here, right? And he goes on to say, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them just where he wanted them to be. I was an agnostic in college. I was a complete agnostic. And in my senior year, because I was pre-med, I had to take embryology. I took anatomy, physiology, And not to get gross, but as part of the anatomy course, we had to do a lot of dissecting. And I'm looking at this stuff, and even then, as an agnostic, we studied each system in detail. And I'm sitting there saying, this could not happen by chance. There's no way this can happen by chance. And at that point, I became convinced that this wasn't somebody's theory about these primordial proteins getting together and somehow, by chance, differentiating into all of this stuff. This was planned. This is written in the DNA of your body. The ear knows exactly where to form. The head knows exactly its place. Right? You get the picture? When God, through the Holy Spirit, distributes the gift, he knows exactly what the body needs and where to place them. The question is, will we let him? Will we let him? He goes on to develop this even further. Let me bring you through this. But if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Catch that? And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are presentable are treated with special modesty. It's a word that's disappeared today, by the way, modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it. You know what that says? God will use everyone for his glory and his purpose if we let him. So that there should be no division. There should be no division in the body. But all but its parts should have equal concern for each other. Oh. You know what that says? Whatever your gifts are, I need to love you. And whatever gifts I have, you need to love me. And though we may differ in gifts, we're just as important to the whole body of Christ. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, if you are the body of Christ, we're just saying if we are the body, right? Now, if you are the body of Christ, each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, here are some of the gifts: apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. And I could tell that some of you may say, okay, Pastor, let's talk about this. Well, you know what? Talk about it as much as you want. Here are the facts. Here are the facts. When we think we know better than God, then we can talk about it, all right? And so a lot of times we come into a sermon like this, we come with our guns loaded already. I'm not here to prove a point. What I'm here to tell you is the truth of what God teaches. Now, is there still a need of apostles today? I don't know. You know, the Bible has a couple of definitions of what an apostle is. There still should be prophets in the church. Part of the pastoral office is prophetic in that we call people to repentance and back to God. Thank God there's teachers in the church. How many of you have seen miracles? How many of you have seen miraculous healings? How many of you have been the recipient of or have had the privilege of helping someone, of giving guidance and wisdom? And the tongues issue, well, we know there's a couple of types of tongues, right? And there's rules for that. You know, it says if anybody speaks in tongues in congregation, there needs to be an interpreter. And it's for the edification of the congregation. If not, then sit down. Can't be out of order. Some people have tongues and prayer language, you know, and that's different. And so, you know, we can go on with this, but look how this goes. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Because we all have different gifts. Where we get into a problem sometimes, even in the church history, is where we say, in order to prove your salvation, you have to have this gift. No, Scripture doesn't say that anywhere. And that's what happens with divisions and all. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And I put this verse in there. Love is what?
Indispensable.
So this is saying, no matter what gifts you have, they're exercised under the love of Christ. And they're not for, well, let me get there. Let's go back to verse 7. Can you give me verse 7? And I'll bring you through this in a few minutes. Here we go. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what?
Common.
Say it again.
Common
good. It's not given for division. It's not given for any other reason. It's given for the common good. Sometimes we lose sight of that, right? Goes on to say, to one is given, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. Have you ever been confused about something or thinking about something? God sends a person with just the right word for you. Has that ever happened? That's a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge sometimes. To another one, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. You know, everybody's got faith. Right? But sometimes when we hit life's challenges, sometimes we need that extra measure, right? And Spirit will give that to us if we yield to Him. To another one, the gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another one, miraculous powers. To another one, prophecy. To another one, distinguishing spirits or discernment. To another one, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, interpretation of the tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit as He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. Now listen to me. The gifts are given by the Holy Spirit for the common good of the church. The purpose of the gifts are the following. And this is not exhaustive. They're for edification, encouragement, sometimes correction, evangelism, showing mercy and service and discernment. And that's not an exhaustive list. But they're not supposed to be divisive. The wrong use of the gifts of the Spirit is to use them for self-glorification or for division. I'm gonna come right out and say it. I believe in every church there are people who believe their spiritual gift is to criticize. You know, the way I used to describe them is the ones who have the clipboard, right? The clipboard just watching for stuff. Look at this. Oh, look at this. Look at this. We spend more time and energy when we allow in our own spirit a critical attitude. And that energy could be put to better use for the common good of the body of Christ. You know what? You know what another downfall is? Sometimes we choose not to use our gifts. What a shame. We choose not to use our gifts. We choose not to be a part of a ministry. We choose to stay away from church. We choose to stay away from this and stay away from that. We choose not to use our gifts. That is a shame. Because, man, how many of you are glad your heart showed up today? How many of you are glad your lungs are working today? When somebody chooses not to use your gifts, it's as if part of the body now is gone. And we hurt. You may say, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. Well, there's papers up here, okay? And make them available. You can take them if you feel led. For those of you who have computers, I listed two websites you can go on to take a free survey. It's called Spiritual Gifts Inventory. Unfortunately, they're up here too. Unfortunately, C. Peter Wagner, who pioneered this stuff, is home to be with the Lord now, and they took his off and out of publication. But these are, two reliable ones that you can use. And if you don't have a computer, if you go on, is there another book about Christian books? I mean, another slide? After that one? There's a good one called Your Spiritual Gifts Inventory by Charles Bryant. You can order that through christianbooks.com, okay? Or call CBD, they used to be called, Christian Book Distributors. You can call them and get it. If you can't, we can order copies for you. So the resources are here. I got to ask this question. Do we care enough to know? We ought to know. Do we care enough to know? The one thing I want to caution you with is this. Talents aren't usually gifts. Talents are natural. Gifts are supernatural. Why? Because they come from the Holy Spirit. Can there be overlap? Yes. Many times there's not. For instance, quick illustration. Some of you have heard this before. Forgive me for being repetitive. I could not for the life of me read publicly or speak publicly before I knew Christ. I would physically get sick and think I would pass out. And when I felt God calling me to ministry, it was like, I felt like Moses. I said, I can't speak, Lord. I have a hearing impediment. I don't say words right. I don't like reading in front of people. I got white fingernails that people always ask me about. It's true. It's true. Lord, I don't want to do it. Send somebody else. And in that still small voice, he said, if I'm calling you to do it, I'm going to equip you to do it. That's a spiritual gift. We need to have a baseline of spiritual gifts. And then take it from there. Somebody asked me, it's a valid question. Somebody asked me, can God change the gift set along the way? I think he can. For instance, I know pastors who were pastoring a church and they decided that God was calling them to teach or equip men and women for ministry in seminaries. That's a change of call, and that requires a little bit of a gift set change, and God can do that if he's calling. But why go through the Christian life blind without even knowing or have an inkling of what our gifts are? There's natural abilities that are talents. There's acquired skills that we work at to develop, correct? And then there's spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to each of us. I would suggest this, that when you know this information and where those all intersect, now you got a powerful combination. And God can use you for his glory and his kingdom in mighty ways. So these are the resources available to us if we are the body. Here's a question I ask. I ask our leaders. I ask people. I ask the men in the men's group. Think about who Jesus attracted when he walked this earth. Think about who he attracted. If we are the body, why aren't we attracting the same people? Why aren't we? Now, not everybody stayed with Jesus. We know that. But why aren't we? I want to suggest to you is that when we are all using our gifts and we're functioning in a way that God wants us to function, we're going to become a fragrance to people who live in a bitter, dark world. And we'll begin to attract people like Jesus. Bill's got a special song he liked to sing. I'd like you to listen to the words, and then we will close together after this.